This is West Virginia Morning from West Virginia Public Radio News. I'm Beth Voorhees. West Virginia's home for the Boy Scouts of America was years in the making. From the announcement in 2009, it took 4 years before the first national jamboree was held on the grounds of the Summit Bechtel Reserve in Fayette County in 2013. Those grounds include a skate park, zip lining, mountain bike trails, and a stadium with the capacity to hold 80,000 people. Now, the Boy Scouts are looking to capitalize on their facility by renting it out for national and other events. But they can't do that without a major change in state law. Ashton Mara explains.
The Boy Scouts of America are a 501c3, which is IRS lingo for a nonprofit that is exempt from some taxes. That exemption, however, is put at risk if the organization decides to rent out their property to a private group. And that's where Amendment 1 comes into play.
The Summit Bechtel Reserve is Scouting's permanent home in West Virginia, and we want to help others to use this amazing facility.
That's Scout President Robert Gates in his radio ad supporting the measure. The amendment would allow the Boy Scouts specifically, not all nonprofits in the state, to lease out their property. This time, the Summit Bechtel Reserve, without losing their property tax exemption. At least, that's how Gary Hartley explains it. He's the Summit's Director of Community and Government Relations.
When we committed to West Virginia, we also said we would try to open this area up for use, but we ran into a hitch, and that was that under the current laws as they're written, if we were to lease out this property, we could lose our charitable use property tax exemption.
Hartley says organizations have already come forward asking to use some of the facilities the Summit has to offer. The United States BMX Association has said they could use it for finals. The X Games are looking at their skate park. Promoters have even reached out to ask about holding major concerts at the venue. And with all of those possibilities, Hartley says, also comes the possibility of major dollars in the local economy.
When we throw a big event, there's the ramp up, the event itself, and the ramp down. Good example is the Jamboree. When we threw the Boy Scout Jamboree in 2013, you know, we spent over $2 million in the local communities around us, just direct spending from the Boy Scouts of America, building up for the Jamboree, preparing for it. These events would bring people in to the event itself. It would bring folks into local hotels, motels, restaurants. We would still also collect, you know, sales tax, wage taxes, the hotel motel taxes. All those would come into our local communities if we were able to run big events on this property.
But not everyone in Fayette County supports the amendment. Fayette County Commissioner Matt Wender says the amendment privatizes the state's constitution for the benefit of a singular organization. He's also worried about the implications it could have for local businesses.
Now, I don't think it's necessarily the initial intent of the Scouts to compete with private enterprise, but what I do know is that Scouting has declined by about 25% since 2002. And what if that trend continues? And let's now assume that maybe the revenues generated by Scouting are not sufficient to pay the cost of operating and maintaining the Summit facility. What choice will the Scouts have but to compete aggressively in the marketplace to generate additional revenues to sustain the Summit?
And if they begin competing without paying property taxes, he says, they not only have an unfair advantage over local businesses, but they also aren't paying into the county's emergency services and school systems. Wender calls the amendment a local issue that the entire state is getting to decide. So Amendment 1, bad for local business and good for the Scouts, or good for everyone? That's up to you to decide. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
West Virginia's Senate race is one that's been closely watched across the country because of the impact it could have at the federal level, with Republicans making a run for control of that body. An empty seat in West Virginia could make for an easier gain. Democratic Secretary of State Natalie Tennant is pushing to keep a change in power from happening. During her appearance on our weekly political talk show Viewpoint earlier this month, she and host Ashton Mara discussed Tennant's plans to put West Virginians back to work.
In your jobs and business plan, You talk about maintaining and attracting new high technology and manufacturing jobs to the state, and you specifically cite the high technology corridor in Fairmont and the Toyota plant in Buffalo as examples of those kinds of jobs. But those projects were brought to the state by senior senators with a lot of pull. So how would you, as a new member of the Senate, work to attract those industries here over places that have senators with many more connections?
Well, as soon as I get in there, when I'm elected on November 4th, I will begin working my way up and showing the importance of bringing this type of, as you call it, federal anchors to West Virginia. And you're certainly right. We have to show how important West Virginia is, because we are doing this cutting edge technology already in West Virginia. And that's what I want folks to recognize. And it's not just taking place at Fairmont at the High Tech Consortium, but it's all over West Virginia. You know, I love to tout that we have cutting edge technology like 3D printing. And 3D printing is the front and center of the Robert C. Byrd Institute at Marshall. And I will continue to invest in that type of research and development and that type of technology that we can take our cutting edge technology, whether it's 3D printing or bio nanotechnology, take it from the labs to the factories. And we have to have a commitment from someone. And on day one, I will start building that seniority, and I will start building that commitment for West Virginia and say, look, we already have NASA up in Fairmont. We need to continue to invest in that area. We have the Department of Defense in West Virginia that we can continue to build. And it takes a tenacity. It takes a tenacity of someone who is willing to stand up, someone who's willing to put her work on the line, and that's what I've done. And you talked about my four-part plan. I've put it out. I've given West Virginians an opportunity to take a look at my vision for the state. And it's been a collaborative effort between me and West Virginians when they come back and say, what about this for education, Natalie? You know, we're focusing on early childhood education, or when especially you're talking about jobs in the economy with our small businesses. I have a very good working relationship with our small businesses as well.
So let's move from this jobs and business plan to the coal and energy jobs plan. Can you cite for me one concrete example of a way that you can impact the growth and creation of energy jobs in the state according to the plan that you've already laid out?
Yes, I can. And this is what I have stood up to President Obama with, and this is what I have taken our voices and our fight to the EPA when the EPA refused to come to West Virginia to hear our stories here. I took our voice and our fight, and I marched through the streets of Pittsburgh with the United Mine Workers, coal workers, and the electrical workers of the IBEW. And I took our fight and our voice and my challenge to the president and the solutions that we can have instead of focusing on trying to hurt our jobs and using regulations that might hurt our jobs. I said, invest in West Virginia. Invest in advanced coal technologies. You see how that intertwines when we talk about jobs and technology, how important I know that building opportunities from our economy based on our energy. So here's what I've said. We have, and I've given the president a way to pay for it. Also, we have $8 billion from the Department of Energy, and it is in guaranteed loans right now. And we haven't had industry or companies apply for these loans. So in absence of that, I said, take this $8 billion and invest directly into advanced coal technology like carbon capture storage, CCS, and either retrofit the existing coal-fired power plants or build new ones with this technology. Now, that is a specific concrete example that you asked about that will help to save jobs in West Virginia, that will help to cut emissions at the same time, and it will also build that technology that gives us another area of creating jobs with technology that's not just going to be used in West Virginia, that is going to be used around the world.
You can hear Ashton Morrow's full interview with Natalie Tennant on our website, wvpublic.org. Tennant's Republican opponent, Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito, has been invited to appear on Viewpoint, but so far has not accepted the invitation. We continue our look at third-party candidates this morning with the Mountain Party candidate who plans to take on the big names of Capito and Tennant in the race for the U.S. Senate. Bob Henry Baber resides in central West Virginia and has run for office several times. Clark Davis has this profile.
Bob Henry Baber is an employee at Glenville State University, working with him to raise funds. But he's not new to the political arena. The one-time mayor of Richwood threw his hat in the ring during the 2010 special election for governor and made a run for U.S. Senate in 2012, both times with the backing of West Virginia's Mountain Party. He received 20,000 votes in his run for the United States Senate in 2012. Baber says those past experiences will help him.
I'm really worried about American democracy. I think people are very disillusioned with the system. The two-party system has really eroded people's confidence. People don't want to run for office. Actually, I will tell you, I've really thoroughly enjoyed running for office. I've met so many great people. They don't always agree with me, but they always like talking to me, and I think that I've added a little spice to the what would otherwise be some bland chili.
And he's hoping he can spice up another race this year. Baber says his platform is simple: to represent the state and its people. That includes representing the state's resources, which he says are constantly being taken from West Virginians with no plan for the future. In particular, he's concerned about mountaintop removal and hydraulic fracturing.
We keep hearing over and over the argument, oh, they're jobs, they're jobs. Well, mountaintop removal is not a job maker, it's a job taker. I'm not against coal. I understand coal's going to be with us for a while. I like electricity too, but I do not believe for the long haul that lopping off mountains is a good thing.
He says, too, that regulations are too lax and often ignored.
Fracking is basically unregulated at this point, so it's not as if I'm opposed to using energy sources, but I don't believe that the industry should get a free ride, and I think there should be some balance to the equation.
Aside from environmental issues, Baber has taken a strong stance on social issues as well, like legalizing marijuana in West Virginia. Although it's a state issue not relevant yet to the federal office he hopes to fill, Baber says it's a chance for West Virginia to be out in front of a legal change he thinks is inevitable.
I often say that West Virginia is the Colorado of the East. I think it would be a great thing for West Virginia to... This is going to happen. All these states are going to eventually legalize marijuana. And I think we ought to get out in front of it. We did with the lottery. It bought us a lot of money for a lot of years. And I think it would bring tourism to us. We could use the tax revenue. And it's pretty much over with regards to marijuana.
Baber knows his chances for winning are slim, but calls it a victory in itself to be on the ballot. He measures a successful race in being able to help shape the political agenda for the state.
When you're in a political office, you are able to shape agendas to a certain extent, and even when you're running for office like I am, you can shift the debate. It's like a little, we're all like little tugboats kind of pulling on the ship of state. Every voice that can help influence the debate and help shape government policy, especially to make it more humane and more environmentally friendly, I think is a good thing.
Baber says his run is truly a grassroots effort to speak for the people in the state he feels go underrepresented.
You know, I really do think about the 25-30% of West Virginians who really feel completely disenfranchised, that nobody is speaking for them, no one understands their issues, no one understands that, you know, the minimum wage needs to be raised, that we need to have health care for folks, we need to create new jobs. I don't think there's anybody speaking for those folks.
But the test of his candidacy will be how many of those folks head to the polls to speak for him. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis.
Wheeling is one of the oldest names in the state. It's actually an Anglified Delaware Indian word, Wheelunk, which means place of the skull or head. According to lore and historians, the land where Wheeling Creek and the Ohio River meet was marked by natives with a European's head on a stick as a stark reminder of some heinous deed that occurred there. But today, people in Wheeling are reviving the word Wheelunk as part of a larger effort to revive the town, Glennis Board reports.
Wheelunk, do something. That's the name and theme or mission of the new online news initiative taking off in Wheeling. Wheelunk.com is a self-described Wheeling-centric website that wants to serve sophisticated local readers who care about their community, and it's launching November 1st. That's all according to the Wheelunk Facebook page that was born a few weeks ago and has since been growing in popularity.
Yeah!
A crowd crowd gathered at Center Market in Wheeling recently to learn more about it.
My title is Wheelunker in Chief.
That's Jason Kegler. What he calls his real job is with West Liberty University, but he's been pedaling hard to get Wheelunk.com off the ground. Why Wheelunk? A name that, for many locals anyway, recalls an egregious act so violent that we still talk about it 300 years later? Well, it's a question Kegler gets a lot.
But we wanted something that was short, memorable, and kind of weird. And so Wheelunk is weird. The other thing about it business-wise is that when you search for Wheelunk, there's no Wheelunk that exists in the world. So you don't have to pay Google to come to the top. It will automatically be there for free. But also we feel like, you know, we have such passion for wheeling, a little bit of touch back to the roots, even though we're looking to the future. But like, we went way back.
Wheelunk is the brainchild of several Wheeling residents, predominantly Jason Kegler and Steve Burke, old high school friends who both moved away and then found themselves home again and in a mood to reinvent their hometown. Kegler says they're in good company, but there's a real need for a community platform to connect all the initiatives and activities that are happening all over the area. So Wheelunk.com is the idea that is crystallizing. So far, the three main objectives of the site are to provide a place for community dialogue, an all-encompassing interactive Wheeling calendar of events, and news.
Wheelunk is a platform to make connections. It's going to be every Wheelingite's homepage. We've envisioned people coming on there daily. It started as a fantasy a couple months ago, and then more and more people we talk to, they're like, yes, like, we need this. It's a void. So we feel like we've really touched on something.
The idea really began as an online newspaper to serve the Wheeling area. Perhaps that's why, so far, the only paid employee is the news editor, local talk radio personality Steve Novotny.
We're looking at travel. We're looking at entertainment. We're looking at food. We're looking at finance. There's going to be a lot of tax assistance for our readers during the major tax season. And then we're also going to tell a lot of stories about the people who are really the key of today's Wheeling.
Novotny is another homegrown Wheelonian. He says there's been a need for unbiased veteran journalism in Wheeling for some time.
We're going to cherish the past of Wheeling because that's what's made us. But finally, the focus is going to be on moving forward and looking into the future for tomorrow's Wheeling. You're going to see that no longer in Wheeling, West Virginia, is it passé to dream.
So far, all other Wheelunk employees are volunteers. They include marketing experts, web developers, graphic designers, party planners, and businessmen and women cohorts in general, who all share one thing for sure in common. They're all invested in Wheeling's future. The site, Wheelunk.com, goes live November 1st. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.